All stunts performed in the making of the series were executed in a controlled environment by highly trained professionals, according to the most stringent production safety guidelines and standards. No injury occurred during any of the stunts performed in the making of the series.
It's gonna be so sick.
Luke, are you good? Yeah.
All right. 3, 2, 1, action! Suspended on a cable, a camera zips ahead of the actors as they race across the set. Percy enters a dark cabin.
From the very first days of the project, we've been talking about viewers all over the world, especially kids, to see in them the hero that they hope to be.
The world of Percy Jackson is an incredible canvas.
It demands that it have the kind of execution that I think we've all committed to.
Growing up with such an iconic series.
Percy holds his sword.
It's insane being able to bring that to life.
This is a big story. I mean, dare I say epic? That's a good Greek word.
What is happening right now?
They rehearse fighting.
These books ask us to consider big things. Where are we from and where are we going? Can we take the risk to want?
Oh my gosh, this is so cool.
That was amazing.
I've never seen anything like this.
He was so committed all season.
This story turned into something bigger than I had ever anticipated. We are embarking on the biggest adventure any of us have ever been on.
Flashes of lightning forge golden letters together. A hero's journey. The making of Percy Jackson and the Olympians. A barbed trident stands proud in the center.
Welcome to you all. Welcome to New York Comic Con. I hope you feel the love. You guys feeling good?
Yeah, thank you so much. Hey, everybody.
New York Comic Con, 2 months to premiere.
There are 180 million copies of Percy Jackson sold around the world. That responsibility to the fan base was a lot of pressure.
Rick and Becky Riordan greet everyone on stage. Dan Schatz, executive producer.
And to have Rick, the author, who has, you know, given 20 years of his life to this material, right in the center of building this with us, it was essential. It was crucial. It was going to make the difference of this working or not working.
Vancouver, 18 months to premiere. Percy waves to us as he walks through the studio.
We're at the volume stage at Mammoth Studios, and we're doing the camera tests. I'm excited. Everything looks awesome so far. I'm excited to start filming.
Rick Riordan.
This was never a project that I wanted to do just because I wanted to do it. It was more about the fans that have read the books over the years. I knew that there was this sort of pent-up demand for a really faithful adaptation of the stories.
It's been a bit of a journey for him, too, to finally see these things realized in a way that feels right to him, that feels like it's doing justice to the story that he's spent so much of his life with.
Really, it started as a bedtime story for my son when he was feeling not so great about himself because of his learning differences. He loved Greek mythology, and I told him all these stories, and I made up Percy Jackson. It was really because he wanted to see a character like himself who had ADHD and dyslexia, but was also a hero. It's crazy how it went from the bedtime story 20 years ago to here we are.
Pillars line a studio. Annabeth, Percy, and Grover walk across fields.
When we started this process, we knew in casting Percy, Annabeth, and Grover, we had a tall order.
It's always a challenge. So many people have read this book, and everybody has their own idea about what they look like. For us, it was really about trying to find the soul of all of these people. And finding Walker, I think, was the moment we all knew this was going to work.
Walker Scobell, Percy.
I had a couple calls with, like, the producers, Dan and John, and I thought I wasn't going to get it anymore. And Rick joined. And then he told me himself with Becky that I got the part, which was really cool.
He really embodies what it means to be Percy. He has a sense of humor. He has Percy's snark. Also a sense of wonder.
I wish I had been that good at his age. He's really wonderful.
He is the real deal. He is talented. He is so hardworking. He is so playful. He's a delight.
Grinning, Walker gives us a thumbs up.
This is a story of a trio and how they play off of each other. Everyone has their moments of doubt, their moment of humor, their moment of emotional struggle.
Who's there?
Mrs. Jackson, it's Grover.
Grover?
This is a little time sensitive. Could someone maybe open the door?
I sent in a tape, like, partly as a joke. I was convinced I wasn't gonna get it, because this is, like, such an iconic show. You know, you really want to do it justice.
Leah.
Annabeth Smiles.
Or Leah.
My audition process was a lot of auditions. I started off, I was, like, flirting with... I like your sword. Oh my gosh. Like,
you know,
that's so cool. I had to do that.
What? It's the first time I'm hearing of this.
Individually, you know, they're all incredible. But if the chemistry between the three didn't work, the show doesn't work. And Walker, Leah, and Arian just had that perfect chemistry fit.
I'm Andrew McElroy, and I'm the acting coach on Percy Jackson Season 1. And this is where we talk about what the story is, where we try to coax their imaginative life out of them and try to build Percy Jackson into a world that sits in their spine, in their imagination, all things Percy. And the group has come together incredibly well. Leah, Arian, Walker.
Andrew is super cool.
Yeah, he's
very
super funny.
Yeah, Andrew is just the best. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have him. He's honest with me. They don't just say, oh, that was great, even when they don't think it's great, and then they cut the scene, you know?
And so forth, the three of us alone.
It took us no time at all to actually build a group, to build an ensemble. They've been teasing each other. They've been working in character with each other. It's very hard to believe that they don't know each other. One of the things we like to say is fill in all the stuff between the lines and, you know, have the actors, like, walking the walk and talking the talk.
I gotta tell them about Kronos.
Lovely.
It's not like we're just throwing it out there. Every single line means something, and it's not just a throwaway.
Because what's the word for glory?
Class.
Class. So where's the glory in that, right?
And there is nothing that's mentioned in this book that we can't actually point to and say, we know what that is. Because there's not a word that I don't let the actors have substantiated.
Yeah. Gorgeous. You see what I mean? It's like, what is it not to have that?
Clouds gather over New York.
Quest is a sacred thing. And to be charged with one is to be in conversation with the gods themselves.
They walk the streets. On a bus, a burly man steps out of a toilet.
There is no way this is what sacred smells like.
We're soldiers on a mission. It's not a vacation.
The fun to be had in a journey like this is every time you turn around, you're somewhere new.
It really is a hero's journey in every sense, and we're all across the map.
There are a lot of challenges in trying to figure out how you can actually do this.
We're off to a rest stop in New Jersey, and then suddenly moving through Middle America. We're at an abandoned water park, and then we're in Las Vegas at this massive casino, and they all have to be brought to life. To do that, it takes a lot. It takes physical locations. We also have virtual environments brought to life by industrial light and magic.
Walker snaps a clapperboard.
Scene one, take one, day one, action. It's a lot of ones.
Inside the studio.
The volume here in Vancouver and Stagecraft is the first ever Canadian volume built.
It is the game changer. It's the future.
This is the most advanced stuff that's happening in visual effects right now.
Instead of having to travel to all of these locations, we're bringing the locations to us.
It's really cool. With 1 second, you're in New York, and the next second, you're 3,000 miles away from that.
You can make it look like you're anywhere in the world, and it truly does, you feel like you're there. Like, I feel like I'm in the forest right now.
Charlie Bushnell, Luke, fights.
Within the computer, all of this exists as a 3D scene, which we can move around and we can manipulate as we want.
Sometimes it's something as easy as moving a tree around.
And it creates these backgrounds that you're seeing in the camera.
We mount tracking objects on top of the camera to find out the exact tracking position of where the camera is in relation to the volume so that we can project them on the walls.
One of the big challenges is blending the real with the virtual. The more physical set you can have on the stage that handshakes with what's on the volume wall, the better it is.
A man follows behind Walker.
This is my dad.
I'm Walker's dad. I don't have a first name anymore.
And this is his first time on the volume stage.
Yes, this is absolutely amazing. I'm excited to watch Walkman do his magic here on this stage.
Can I get you anything? Fresh pomegranate juice, a snack?
It's truly amazing. You basically don't have to use your imagination, which is great for me because I have none whatsoever.
Jay Duplass, Hades, Rick laughs.
The world of Percy Jackson is an incredible canvas for us. That alone brings excitement because of the challenges. And we can push this new discipline of virtual production to way higher grounds.
Daylight dawns outside Mammoth Studios.
Today is a Minotaur car crash, yeah.
Walker steps onto the set. A crew member sprays water onto Arian's jacket. Another sprays Walker's face.
I'm just going to spritz your face. 1, 2, 3.
It's nice.
Today we have the Camaro on a 6-axis motion base that can move anywhere in space. And it does so similar to what this scale model that we call a Waldo does. And we can move the Camaro around and act like it's driving down the road on the screens that you see behind me.
Yeah, I think it's gonna spin.
Walker grins.
I think they're gonna spin it. It was really my first introduction on how tiring it can be to film on a set. They got to shake the car around and seeing like trucks and like the volume stage and glaring lights and the rain and the water towers. It was fantastic.
In the car, glass shatters over the passengers. The needle of the speedometer rises as Sally struggles with the steering wheel.
Come.
Walker climbs down from the car.
That was pretty fun. So we just finished the first full week of filming. Yeah, this is a fun week. Can't wait for the 46 more or something.
Walker holds the barbed trident.
Morning. You gotta sit like this. Morning.
Powerboat.
James Bobbin, director, touches it.
It's a real metal.
It definitely is. Also, it's totally deadly. This would not be a good way to end.
One of the biggest challenges when you take a book and make it on the screen is creating a plausible world. So from our props to our costume to our set design, it had to be very tangible, very real.
The heads of departments on the show are bringing their own ideas of what it means to inhabit the qualities that these characters in the books do, and it lets the world breathe from the bottom up.
We had over 120 children that we were going to have to put armor on and tried to come up with something that was reminiscent of ancient Greek armor, but just modified the shape so that the children would be able to wear it.
Putting on my costume for the first time really made me feel like, oh yeah, I'm a part of this now, I'm so ready.
This came from Shein. This came from
Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, Louis Vuitton. And this is Gucci. His stuff just came from, I don't know.
This is Goodwill. It's a $10 outfit, I think.
Walker points at his armor. A man paints a sword gold.
When we were talking to the props department about Riptide,
shield, pen.
I said it has to be like really, really plain looking, like a 30-cent ballpoint pen. But they did put this really cool detail. The guard on the pen cap is shaped like the blade of Riptide.
Well, don't tell anybody, but I'm stealing that sword. I don't care what anybody says. I'm taking that home.
Walker giggles at us.
We really found some of the best people to bring this world to life. Oscar-winning Dan Hanna, who did Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, is creating worlds like my imagination could never go to.
Today, we're in Asphodel with Asphodelians.
You don't know which ones are alive or which ones are mannequins, and it is really freaky. Scary.
If I saw a plastic one or something, I would have died.
Dan Hanna.
The key factor is finding the vision of the director and being true to that. I tend to start off with some concept artists, and then set designers do their magic.
We are in stage 4 at Mammoth Studios, building the Terminus set for episode 5. And what we're standing in will be a 32,000 cubic foot tank of water where Percy and Annabeth come to retrieve Ares' shield.
Percy spots a golden statue.
There it is.
It holds a shield.
So here we are at the Terminus amazing water set. A lot of fun.
Look at that. My best jacuzzi ever. Oh, my God.
Can I actually take a quick dip at the end?
No, I wouldn't mind if you did that.
In the forest, colorful ribbons hang from a bridge.
Camp Half-Blood, we searched far and wide to find the right environment. And finally, we walked into this forest at Langley, which had all the attributes we needed. And then we needed to build our world.
This has been about a 3-month process. A lot of the work was bringing in an incredible amount of greens, digging out this pond, basically taking Dan Hanna's concept art and realizing it into this space.
It came together so well. Just seeing all the cabins in that U formation, it's so weird because I've been imagining that since like 3rd grade and then actually being there and seeing that, like walking in and doing scenes in the cabin is just, It's, you can't even describe it. It's really cool.
Everyone, your attention, please. This is Percy Jackson.
I think the things that have always made Percy feel different, it turns out once he's around people who are like him.
I'm Luke.
He's not so unusual.
Demigods just process reality differently. For the first time in your life, you're just like everyone else.
Charlie, who plays Luke, is like the big brother that everyone wants. And Walker immediately looked up to him.
This is a daily occurrence on set, trying to get the perfect dap.
One time we were at Camp Athlete, and we did it so much that I had like a 5-star print on my forearm. Charlie?
Walker, what are you doing?
Oh my God.
Dude, it's been so long.
It's been so long.
Luke and Percy gape at each other.
Yes.
There's some wish fulfillment, I think, in a story about a kid who's always felt different, finding a place where he fits in.
I was a military brat, so we moved around a lot, and so there's a lot of different schools, and I always had to remake friends, and I really connected with that while I was reading the books, I think so.
He is fantastic as Percy, and he's lovely to work with, and he's a really great actor.
Clarice's spear crackles with orange energy.
Clarice is a complicated one. She is his nemesis at the beginning.
Dior Goodjohn, Clarice.
She's the character that we all love to hate, that's for sure.
I just want you to admit that you are a fraud.
Percy rolls away from Clarice's spear.
For Percy, she's a bit like the sort of bullies he's used to dealing with at school. But he sort of learns that he's actually quite good at fighting.
For us, that moment with Clarice was really the eye-opening moment for him of all of the things he was capable of and never knew.
Percy hurdles over Clarice, snapping her spear.
She can really scream.
Oh,
there
yeah.
was that one scene, it was like an opera singer. Oh, it was yeah. amazing. If there was any glass near us, I'm sure it would have shattered.
No!
She grabs Percy by his armor.
Poseidon affects Percy's journey in that I think he sort of intervenes at certain points deliberately. And, I mean, that's all he can do, really.
A trident hovers over Percy.
Water is an incredibly important theme in the whole Percy series because Percy's dad is Poseidon, who is the sea god.
Rain falls over Sally.
Obviously, shooting water is not easy. We chose very much to shoot practically because I love the experience of the actor of being in the environment of water.
Percy drops into murky green water. He tries to swim upward. Walker swims in a plaid shirt in a pool. Bubbles of air rise from his gaping mouth.
We're at a training facility in Vancouver. This is where we've been working with Walker, training him.
Walker approaches the stunt and safety team by the pool. He dips his denim-clad legs in before descending the steps.
It feels like, well, cold, because I didn't like wearing wetsuits.
He holds the rail while he submerges himself in the rippling water. He interviews.
You don't think that wearing clothes makes a big difference? It really does, because you feel like you're drowning, you know? Wearing shoes underwater, like, you can't, like, use your feet because it doesn't really, like, work. You can't kick. You have to use your arms. At the beginning, it was a little scary.
He swims underwater.
We have put him through a freediving youth course, and he flew through it with flying colors. He's very comfortable in the water. And we are just layering skill so that they're able to simply focus on performing.
The instructor directs him to hold his nose. Walker treads water, smiling. In the studio, he ascends stairs.
The commitment for a 13-year-old, I have never seen anything like it. He's put in a tank. He was underwater for most of the day with scuba gear, and this is really complicated work.
So at the very beginning, your left foot is trapped. Your first instinct would be go to the surface. So you push off to the surface, boom, you're caught. Then I'll say near it, and that is what's coming towards you.
Okay, so
and then we'll take, and that's how
the jump.
Twice.
In costume, Walker climbs down into the pool. He swims along the riverbed.
Okay, here we go. And it's on you, buddy.
Percy tries to swim upward. Bubbles of air rise from his mouth.
Holding your breath is a difficult thing to do, but when you're doing it without a mask, in costume, it is very, very difficult. And then you have to perform on top of that.
Trust yourself. Just breathe.
Percy parts his lips. His chest lifts as his lungs fill.
He would put the regulator in, take the regulator out, and just stay underwater because he wanted to get it right. It just says everything about who Walker is.
Walker and Leah sit in a small boat.
Working with the kids in the water was awesome. We're noticing they're like, oh yeah, we need to get out of this boat before something happens. That's when we...
She mimes jumping.
Coming to set, they knew the pressure that was on them because if we didn't get this take, And it would take another hour for them to dry off and do a take two. So I just was real with them because they're smart kids. And I said, you know what? At the end of the day, if we have to do that, it's going to be okay.
Action and jump!
The kids leap from the boat into the frothing water.
Yeah! And cut! Good job, Gannon!
And they nailed it. I was so proud of them.
Yeah, they look awesome!
I know Leah had rehearsed in a pool many times and I was so proud of her because she was nervous but committed, and that's all you can ever ask.
Leah's parents.
One thing I can say, she's a hard worker, so if anybody works harder than Leah, that's something to see.
She's a perfectionist. The challenge is more of Leah proving that this role is for her.
Come on. Let's go find Percy.
You know, proving the fact that she's a wise girl, she's tough, I think it pushes her.
I could come in the room at night and she's studying her lines, and I'm asking her, Leah, what you doing? I'm not Leah right now, I'm Annabeth.
I think the moment we met Leah, it was one of those moments where a character that had only really existed on the page, as far as the show goes, started to come into focus.
She has this sense of groundedness to her that's really rare. She wants to do the best job possible, and she is just laser focused on getting the role right.
So when you got to us, you'd be different than this.
It's great to work with Leah. She's exactly how I envisioned Annabeth.
Annabeth is the most reasonable. She keeps the group on track. She always is one step ahead. That's the big thing. She's always one step ahead. And Leah does a phenomenal job of playing it.
I do feel like Annabeth on and off of set. I've become this character so much now that, like, I'm always like, wait, who's that? Wait, no, I hear something. What is that?
There's a combination of strength and cool to her.
I've really enjoyed sharing this journey with Leah in her journey with Annabeth. She's led with such prowess, but also with a lot of vulnerability, where she's still learning and where she's still finding things out about herself.
Power and glory and nothing else matters.
Annabeth glares at Hephaestus.
Ares is that way. Zeus is that way. My mother is that way. But I don't want to be that way anymore.
Jet Wilkinson, director, watches the scene.
Good, let's cut. Nicely, huh? And good work.
Outside, a machine belches out steam, which billows around a train. Men in hard hats stand by. Leah, Arian, and Walker step across the train track. They board the train. Arian pulls the door shut.
Whatever we do, we have to make sure this door does not open.
The boys grin at us. A metal door buckles. Camera operators follow the kids as they run across the tracks.
They're not done with us. She's learning to hunt. And this seems like the hunting part.
Electo approaches. Medusa lifts her hat. Echidna smiles.
You should run now.
The challenge to creature design on a show like this is these are creatures that have existed for thousands of years. There have been endless interpretations of what the Chimera or Minotaur looks like. It was important to us as storytellers that every time you meet a creature on the show, it feels like it could only exist in this show. At the same time, adhering to the canon of what that creature is mythologically. So it creates an interesting puzzle. How do you do something new without it feeling too new? Yeah. A lot of that was attacked from the same place that we attacked casting, which was just trying to figure out who they were and impart some level of humanity and personality to all of these creatures and to let that then come out.
Confess and you will suffer less pain.
Hi, I'm Megan Mullally, and I play Mrs. Dodds / Electo.
Mrs. Dodds? You okay?
I come in as Mrs. Dodds, the mean math teacher.
You're not fools.
I also turn into this monster and try to eat them frequently.
Where is it?
The most fun part so far has been that I get to fly.
A fury glides through the sky.
Let's get out of here, please, while we still can.
Electo lands behind them.
Not today, friends.
Percy turns to the veiled Medusa.
It's a pleasure to meet you, son of Poseidon.
I'm Jessica Parker Kennedy, and I'm playing Medusa. This is my motion capture hat, which you won't see. You'll see snakes. It'll be very scary. I hope you're very, very afraid.
When I ship your statues to Olympus, maybe that will get my point across.
Medusa, she's a really fun character. Doing snakes has a lot of challenge because they all need to play together. You don't want to take away the importance of the character either, so it's kind of a complimentary actor in a way, but it's all grounded to reality and feels real.
We'd seen a number of iterations of a Minotaur that felt a little impersonal, like that he was a monster only. We wanted to let him be someone who felt like he had a little bit more personality than that.
He is brutal, he's relentless,
he's wearing underpants.
The Minotaur, we've been working on that creature for quite a bit. Even before they start shooting that sequence, we had to develop his character and get all the detail on the face, and we have some close-ups.
The bull-like Minotaur attacks.
We have brought in the best of the best to bring these things to life.
Our lead partners at ILM, both in terms of helping us create the world and the environments and helping us create a number of these creatures, are doing it at a level that's pretty astonishing to us in terms of what's possible and how real these creatures can be made to feel.
The Chimera breathes fire. Electo disintegrates. At the side of the set, Jet joins Walker.
Oh, the new producer? Wow. Oh, well, that'll be really, really, really nice to you then. How long have you been doing this? This is your first day, or?
I'm doing this for about 3 to 4 minutes.
Okay, you're doing great. What do you think of this show? It's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, I love it.
You'll make this business, man.
It's amazing, but just, let's just completely change it.
Copy.
Walker giggles.
You're funny.
How hard could this be?
Percy crashes a taxi.
What's been the most fun part of this show is these kids' enthusiasm for the stunt work. We have such a great stunt team who are so collaborative. But Walker is obsessed.
Bon voyage.
He lives for that hybrid of, you know, stunt acting.
He's great to work with because he's athletic and he understands the whole process. But when we try to explain to him what's going on, he's miles ahead of us.
Attached to cables, Walker flies back.
I have so much respect for that kid. This is a long shoot. He is in, like, every single day, and he still is able to keep such a good energy.
Watching him get to perform his own stunts, it's like watching your kid at a sports game.
Walker smiles as he leaps from the bus window, holding the shoebox. A man on a ladder adjusts a large canopy.
But as we shoot up.
Did you watch the playback?
Is it cool?
It looks really cool.
Right now, I'm doing a stunt where I get to fall off the St. Louis Arch.
He flops to a mat.
It's gonna be so sick.
Luke's being slack.
It's gonna be super fun.
My name's Corbin. I'm with the stunt team. The shot is hanging through the hole, and it's like 1,000 feet down there or whatever it is. And he tries to get back up on his arm on there, and he can't make it, and he slips back down again, and then he falls down.
And then throw it back.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
We are going to have him hooked up to this machine. It's called a descender, and it's for dropping people. The way it works is it has a motor here for winding up this line that's hooked to the performer. So you wind them up, you let go of the brake, and all of a sudden, it's a lot of stuff going on at once, and you have to really pay attention.
The descender winches Walker up through the hole in the floor of the arch.
There we go.
Flames lap the edge. The crew steadies the descender. Percy clings to a twisted girder. Wind ruffles his hair as he looks up. Echidna and the Chimera stand over him.
So unfair. You never had a chance, did you?
The crew operates the descender. Percy's hands slip. The other clings desperately to the metal. His fingers begin to slide. The descender's brake releases Walker's line and he falls. As a speck, Percy drops from the arch. Walker lands on a mat. Walker smiles and gives a thumbs up. At a rocky set.
So this is where we're picking up. I'll say action, and then you guys back up, take a couple steps, and then I'll say and turn. Then you turn and run, and then we're into your...
Are we doing that separately?
No, we're doing it all in this. Yeah.
We're flying?
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of running today.
We should do one take where we're all just Tom Cruise run.
Yes.
Yes.
Hands spread.
Arian's about to be snatched up by Cerberus.
We're just, like, sprinting. It's kind of like the scene from Rocky III, but not like it at all.
We thought, like, Cerberus was just going to, like, grab Grover by the back of the clothes and, like, swallow him. But in the previous, he literally just eats him. He grabs him from, like, the waist up. It's scary.
Grover, Percy, and Annabeth back away. On the set, the camera retreats.
Ready, and turn!
Go, 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 go!
The kids run.
This is pretty cool to watch. It's a little hard not to laugh because one second you're running and I'm like watching him run and then he just gets...
Cerebrus lunges at Grover, swallowing him whole. Grover! Aryan dangles from a wire. Walker laughs with his stunt double. Leah chats with hers.
Oh my God.
Resetting.
I
want to
see a playback on it. That was actually really good. I was like,
they look good.
Did you see that? That was really fast, you know?
I mean, they should like charge people to be able to do this. This is so much fun. It's
carnival ride.
It's a carnival ride. It's scary. It's great. It's amazing. This is my stunt double, Vesh. He's really cool. He's shredded.
Vesh waves. A hairdresser trims Aryan's hair.
This is my first series regular, and this is my first project on a role as big as this or as intensive as this. So I had no idea what I was signing up for. But in that first month of prep, it was me working with a movement coach, learning how to walk like a goat and wire work and stunts. All things I had never done before. It was awesome.
Grover?
Percy?
Grover, why is there half a goat in your pants?
Grover looks down.
So the important thing is not to panic.
Aryan's mom.
He loves it every single day to be here, to be on the set, and to be working.
Really zoom in on this.
We are applying the slobber of the Cerberus three-headed dog. So this is Grover coming out of the mouth.
You are a bad... bad dog. No shower, I take, will be long enough.
I don't think you need a shower.
Aryan Samadri is the heart of this show. His warmth, his vulnerability.
A camel holds up traffic. The kids watch.
He seems dangerous.
Oh, they'll be totally fine. I gave them a satyr's blessing, so they'll be able to reach the wilderness.
I meant for the people.
The first tape I saw of Aryan, I was like rolling on the floor laughing.
Yeah, I don't know, but the animals are all set.
He not only got the humor, but he added to it. And he just brought out Grover's personality.
Aryan points and winks at us.
Yeah.
I regret doing that. Cut that out.
That character needs empathy. He needs heart. He needs soul. Aryan, he just exudes it. It's just in him, let alone that he's hilarious.
I'm really humble, and I have to say I'm the best person on set.
That is a very humble opinion.
Yeah, I'm really modest, but I'm just, like, so good at everything.
Aryan smiles. He punches the air.
Let's do this. Okay.
Yeah. Let's make some cinema really good.
Walker and Aryan walk through the studio.
Aryan, I think, flies into Tartarus today, too.
But it got dragged into Tartarus today.
Well, that's later this week. Never mind.
Hey, are they dragging you to the pits of hell today?
Oh, no, that's later this week.
No, that's later.
What a crazy job we have.
I know.
Andrew McElroy.
One of the things we really count on in working with our young actors is the support of their own personal ecosystem. After a day of fire or sand or wind or this monster or that monster slammed around in a car. After a day at work, it's really good to go home and have somebody support the toll that imagination at this level takes.
Annabeth and three others play cards outside a trailer.
Hold up. In between scenes, when they're not on camera, the children come into a school space that we've set up and they get to be normal kids.
Oh, look, here they come. We weren't talking about you.
Did you just hear, like, loud?
They get to do their schoolwork, and they get to play and rest and relax and interact with each other.
So basically, I am in eighth grade, and I'm learning algebra, but right now I am learning solving equations.
What's your favorite subject, Leah?
Math.
The main thing we want to do is, even though they're working, is we want to keep their childhood as intact as possible in this kind of crazy industry that we work in.
It's for a physics project at school.
Aryan rolls up a paper and blows it off a straw.
And a lot of the schooling can be tailored to their interests. I mean, Walker loves the camera department because every time I lose him, I know he's going to be in the camera front. And he wants to learn from them. He wants to learn how to do camera.
John and Mike.
So we're going to integrate that into his schooling so that we don't always have to pull him from what he loves on set and put him into a room.
I really messed this up just now.
They do work a lot of hours when they're a lead, and that's quite intensive.
These are long days, and to me it's important as teachers that we create a space where kids can be kids on set.
Leah shoves a diver into water.
Fire! Fire!
Outside, Walker and Aryan fire water blasters at the crew. Walker's dad watches them.
The red remains silent.
if you say anything,
it will be anything and everything will be held against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney.
Did you learn this just from watching 21 Jump Street?
Yes.
Pale sunlight casts shadows on the side of the Mammoth Studios building. The Los Angeles cityscape sprawls.
There's a lot of fun to be had throughout the show, but there's also a level of emotion and intensity that requires an epic score.
My name is Bear McCreary. I am the lead composer at Sparks and Shadows, and together we are the composers for Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Here I am on a scoring stage, recording original music for Percy Jackson, which in many ways is a dream come true.
Bear conducts an orchestra.
Percy Jackson is a really dynamic series. Some of the scenes that were the biggest challenge were actually the intimate scenes. There were a lot of scenes with Percy and his mother where he's trying to be vulnerable with her. I wanted to make sure that the emotion is there.
You are not broken.
The Minotaur emerges.
At the same time, we're going to end with a big battle. So I also needed to make sure that the score had some cinematic propulsion.
Percy's sword glances off its horn. In the studio, musicians play their instruments.
And it's something that we use to create a really dynamic experience when you're watching.
In pelting rain, Percy clings to the Minotaur's fur, making his way to the monster's head. He rips one of its horns off.
Excellent. Let's take a 10. Nicely done, everybody. Nicely done.
A canopy of white clouds floats above the Vancouver skyline.
Oh, hey. Slushy machine. Not something you'd usually see on set, unless, you know, one of the producers is buying.
On set, Walker stands with Arian.
Hey, casino set.
This is awesome.
We haven't had time to explore.
There's a slushy machine.
There's a slushy machine. There's like four of them.
Yeah.
They built this mall, and then they never ended up using it, and so we just built this whole set here, the Lotus Casino.
It's huge. There's like working escalators.
It's a big hurdle to clear when a book says it's a place that seems so fun and so engrossing we never want to leave, and then you got to go produce that, and they did it.
Well, would it be unprofessional if we just hung out here for a bit?
Yes.
Today we're in a casino with 400 people. It is a lot of people here today.
Okay, I just stepped out the elevator and suddenly I'm in Vegas. This is crazy. I kind of want to move in.
Another thing we added to the Lotus Casino, Hermes.
Who was your first choice for Hermes? We got him.
Leaning on a casino table, Hermes spots Percy and Annabeth.
Hey, demigods. Welcome.
Lin-Manuel Miranda at Hamilton. He's the coolest guy ever.
We spent like a week watching Hamilton to like prepare to meet him.
Gods require maintenance.
Lin ushers the kids away.
Okay.
As Lin's going to the table, look around behind you as well, going, where are we? What just happened?
Zap.
Okay. All right.
Being with Lin-Manuel, it was amazing. He was very chill. He was very funny. And like, he made me laugh like a million gazillion times.
TikTok, Mr. Wick.
I'm here with
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
And I'm going to be interviewing him in the Lotus Hotel Casino.
This may take forever, literally. I didn't know much about Greek mythology until I started reading these books with my kids. I really fell in love with all of the different myths, really via Rick's incredible writing and the way he wove these original characters into the tapestry that is Greek mythology. Come join us. The kids know how to play craps?
It's so cool that you're here to be able to play Hermes. Like, perfect casting.
Oh,
honestly. How do you identify with Hermes?
There's something really fun about Hermes because he's really hard to pin down. He's a trickster god. He's a god of commerce. He's the god of everything that goes down in this casino. He's just kind of the god of a lot of different little things.
He's always doing something.
And that's how I feel, too.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
Amen!
Lin-Manuel Miranda is the coolest guy ever. That's all I have to say. He's the coolest dude ever.
Walker grins.
Hi, I'm Walker Scobell, and this is...
Adam Copeland.
Who would win a wrestling match between you and me?
Walker holds a mic to Adam.
I mean, do you want the real answer?
We'll go with the draw. I don't want to embarrass you in front of these guys.
Sure.
When I first got here, that's all I could think about is Ares fight. I'm going to be fighting Adam Copeland. That's, like, career goals. I mean, that's awesome.
My name is Adam Copeland, and I am playing Ares, the god of war.
He's a wrestler, right? Everyone's like, you should be scared of him in the show, right? I don't even have to act scared. I am scared of the life of this guy.
That is awesome.
That's awesome.
He is one of the coolest people I've ever met in my life. He plays such a mean character, but he's so nice in real life.
Oh, my armpits are so happy.
Really nice person. He's like a squirrel, like a little, like
he's a sweetheart.
Like, I mean, this is like,
really
like,
ripped 6 foot
he's
four
a
squirrel.
Huge chipmunk. Single combat.
Walker points his sword.
When you hear that you're going to be doing a battle with a 13-year-old, I was like, okay, how's that gonna work? Because usually I'm playing off of very large human beings, but it's been great.
Nice, one more time, just like that.
In rehearsal, Walker and Adam parry swords.
A lot of this stuff has been pretty physical. Like, I've been whipping around. He's like a bobblehead, but no complaints. He just powers through. And he's also having a blast, and so am I.
I think it's crazy to see it coming together, and I think it's going to be difficult, but it's going to be pretty awesome.
On set, they step through fight choreography and costume.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that. What is the hero's journey in Percy Jackson mean to you?
So I love watching the progression, the hero becoming the hero. And you always have to have a great villain to pull those layers out. Mm-hmm. So that's been fun with this season, is I get to be that villain.
We've done the fight a couple times, but we added a new beat. He has to like push me against the ground with his sword, and he like drags me across the beach, and it's really scary. I'm not scared of the sun, I'm scared of Adam.
Holding the mic, Walker glances at Adam. Percy readies his sword as Ares strides confidently toward him. Percy ducks, avoiding Ares' blows. He parries until Ares bashes him with the hilt, knocking Percy down. Ares plunges his sword. Percy blocks. Their weapons lock.
This battle sets the tone. It's what the whole first season builds to. It has to feel epic, and it has to feel huge. And it's the first inclination we get of what Percy becomes.
This bit, I love this. Whoa.
That's cool.
The hero's journey is what makes the entire story. It's seeing this young boy blossom into a man. So that's really exciting to see Walker take this thing and make it his own and see the change happen.
Adam lifts Walker.
It's fun.
That was cool. I'm excited to see it all spliced together.
Adam pats Walker's shoulder.
Pretty tired, but I could do a little bit more. Yeah, I mean, I love filming, but I also love sleeping in.
Walker smiles. Sparklers fizzle on top of a cake.
A really good win.
For next season to be a little bit shorter.
Walker blows on the sparklers and candles.
Keep going.
Those are never going to go out.
I don't think these ones will go out.
Heather Scobell, Walker's mom.
For Walker, even though it is really hard work, it's long work, but he loves it. So for him, it's fun. Every second he is up there working, he's having fun. So that makes it work for him. You love what you're doing all day long.
Peter Scobell, Walker's dad.
From day one, he said, I want to be an actor. But okay, like, let's start with something small. Let's start with a play. And he had passion for that. And then he went to an acting class. And as momentum built, we would help him open the doors, but he had to go through it on his own.
Walker smiles at his dad, sword in hand.
As a parent, it was emotional for me because you see a kid find the thing that he's supposed to do at such a young age. And as an adult, like, I'm 45 and I'm still looking for the thing I'm supposed to do. But he finds it, and not only do they find it and have so much passion and desire to learn. And you realize, like, the gift for someone at that age to have to get an education in every aspect of film.
Go for a walk.
Grinning, Walker holds a steady cam.
Keep it beside you,
right? Keep two hands on it. There yeah. You
go. To be here and to get to watch my son find this and become.
He blinks back tears.
Sorry. Who he's becoming has been the greatest gift I could ever ask for.
Walker leans in, and his dad wraps his arms around him. His dad ruffles his hair before Walker pulls away and wanders off.
One of the things I really, really loved about this project was it began with words on a page, and the words came to be on a page because a father was trying to help his son feel more comfortable in the world. Which then became the script for a television series, which then became a gathering place, a campfire, if you will, around which an incredibly talented group of people and an incredibly incredibly talented group of young actors came together to begin our hero's journey towards the making of Percy Jackson.
How far she's come.
Yeah. When we started this almost a year ago now, these kids were already incredibly talented. Now, somehow, they're even better.
I have watched these three kids grow up and become more than who they were when we started, and it's really exciting, and I'm very glad to be a part of it.
They all work from the soul, they all work from the heart, and they all want to live and breathe their characters.
At the beginning of the season, Percy didn't want to accept anything but the gods. I was like a child, and at the end, I feel like Percy feels like an adult, you know? I feel like he accepts growing up.
I'm done running from monsters.
It's about going through the process of letting people in and developing those kinds of relationships, which are more complicated than just finding somebody who knows what it's like to be you. But it is also, I think, a story about the strength of their own humanity.
Percy's about this unit, these three amazing kids who have to work together. And it's the same thing that was with this show.
Every single individual in this room said we are all in and meant it. And we all knew we were a part of something magical and relatable and important.
This has been quite an epic adventure just in the making of Percy Jackson and the Olympians.
And again, we go back to the genesis of the story, which began, I think, from a place of goodwill. And that's what I've been finding the entire way through this show, that spirit of goodwill.
No matter what happens, we meet back here next year. All of us, right here.
These kids have grown up in so many ways, just personally as individuals, as team members, as leaders of this show, and as performers. And it all started with a book that 180 million people around the world adore. We have a responsibility to what this book means and what it's trying to say.
I took the job because of a little boy named Liam. He's my godson. And he said, Virginia, what have you been doing today? And I said, I made this audition tape for this show. And he said, what show? And I was like, oh, it's this thing called Percy Jackson. We were walking down a street in Queens. He stopped and his whole body changed and like tears filled his eyes. And it was at that moment I thought, oh my God, this is really important to people. And this is really important to someone I love. And I want to be a part of telling a story that makes that child respond in that way. So that's why I'm here.
The books are really special to me because it felt good to have them on like a really bad day or when things were hard.
I have ADHD and I love how they empowered kids with ADHD.
I think I've reread all of them 6 times so far. I enjoyed them a lot in third grade and I still enjoy them now rereading them.
I feel like it makes me realize that I can achieve really great things in my life. And like, I don't have to like be someone like super important or anything. And that's good enough.
As you can tell, it takes more than a village to create something as epic as Percy Jackson.
Thank you for making this an amazing panel, guys. Give it up one more time for Percy Jackson.
It's really critical for me that viewers all over the world can look at this show and say, I could be Annabeth Chase, or Percy Jackson, or Grover. And to see you can be a hero no matter what you look like, no matter what your personal challenges are, no matter where you come from. What it's really about is tapping into the best that's inside us, drawing on that, and doing what we know needs to be done in those hard moments. And hopefully getting to do what needs to be done with some great friends around you.
The cast and crew wave and smile.
Orion, you're on my foot.
Oh my God, it was so soft.
The young trio hug beside Thalia's tree. Shimmering letters glisten. Percy Jackson and the Olympians. A barbed trident forms the Y in his name. Credits appear. Barbs of blue lightning flash. metallic particles float around the letter fragments, which rotate as they come together. Credits continue. Audio description produced by Zoo Digital and narrated by Kelly Brennan.